Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. 52 hours away from the NFL Draft in Chicago. Expect Jared Goff to be first off the board to the Rams. Expect the Eagles to take Carson Wentz and then let the party begin. We'll talk more about the draft this hour. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Twins, in a walk-off, beat the Cleveland Indians. Old friend Corey Provis with the call.
And the pitch, a swing and a drive. Right field and deep. Back it goes. It's gone. Arcia walks it off again. A 1-2 count. Arcia, the hero, once again at Target Field. It's a game-ending solo blast to right. And the Twins win 4-3.
Corey Provis, great guy and an excellent announcer with the call on the Twins Radio Network as they won last night over Cleveland 4-3 on the walk-off at Target Field. Great to have everybody on board today. Our number 800-795-9565. We will talk with Neil Coulong tomorrow about the Steelers and their draft. Yesterday we had Matt Leon on the show talking about the Eagles and what they're doing with Sam Bradford and with the draft as well. There's going to be less news on the Eagles than there will be in the Steelers because the Eagles have dealt away their picks to get the second overall pick, which in all likelihood is Carson Wentz, the quarterback out of the North Dakota State. Look, quarterbacks, there is no cradle of quarterbacks, and I've mentioned this many times on the show. I mean, but you can do a quick rundown on where everybody's from. I mean, look at the NFC East. Kirk Cousins, Michigan State. Sam Bradford, Oklahoma. Eli Manning, Ole Miss. And then you go FBS, Tony Romo, Eastern Illinois. All right, so that's the NFC East. Let's go to the NFC North. Matthew Stafford, Georgia. Aaron Rodgers, Cal. Teddy Bridgewater, Louisville. And Jay Cutler from Vanderbilt. So I've now named eight franchises, and no school's been mentioned twice. Let's go to the NFC South. Cam Newton, Auburn, by way of other schools. Cam Newton, Auburn. Matt Ryan, Boston College. Drew Brees, Purdue. And Jameis Winston, Florida State. Still haven't mentioned two schools. I'm 12 in. So let's go to the NFC West. Carson Palmer, USC. Russell Wilson, Wisconsin, by way of NC State, but Wisconsin. For the moment, Colin Kaepernick, Nevada. And I guess you've got to say Jared Goff, right? So Cal's the first one twice, and he and Aaron Rodgers are separated by more than 10 years, right? So that's the first one you've had Cal twice, because Goff will get picked. So now let's go to the AFC East. Tom Brady, Michigan. Tyrod Taylor, he's Virginia Tech. Fitzpatrick, Harvard. And Ryan Tannehill, Texas A&M, by way of a wide receiver. Indianapolis, Andrew Luck, Stanford. Jacksonville, Blake Bortles, Central Florida. Houston, I guess now we got to go with Brock Osweiler from Arizona State. And Tennessee, Marcus Mariota from Oregon. See, there's no rhyme or reason here as to what you get. Let's go to the AFC North. Ben Roethlisberger, Miami of Ohio. Joe Flacco, Delaware by way of Pitt, but Delaware, FCS. Andy Dalton, TCU. And RG3, I'd put him as the starting quarterback right now for the Browns, out of Baylor. Now you go out west. And when you go out west, you've got Derek Carr, Fresno State. I guess we'll say Mark Sanchez, USC. So that's two USCs now to go with Carson Palmer. Phillip Rivers, NC State. And Alex Smith of Utah. Now, in all of that, we ended up with two Cals, because Goff's going to get picked first, and two USCs, and nobody else the same. So there's no cradle of quarterbacks. There's no quarterback factory. There's no one that does a better job than anybody else of churning out these guys. And the quarterbacks that are going to get picked here in the opening round, or the opening couple of rounds, hey, you've got Cal, North Dakota State, Paxton Lynch from Memphis, Dak Prescott from Mississippi State, Christian Hackenberg from Penn State, and Connor Cook from Michigan State. Now, if Connor Cook gets there, that'd be two Michigan States, but he won't be the starting quarterback. But that's what you have right now. You have quarterback is a very difficult position to scout now in college. There are 14 schools in the Big Ten. Penn State ran a pro-style offense last year. Okay? But JT Barrett does not run. You know, JT Barrett can throw the ball, but he does not run a pro-style offense at Ohio State. But Michigan obviously does run a pro-style offense, but Jay Rudock is not going to get picked. And there's a little more movement in his offense now based on the quarterbacks that he has. I watched their spring games, a little slightly different. Michigan State runs a pro-style offense. Maryland, it's hard to tell, they've now changed up. But they have pro-style quarterbacks that can move. Rutgers moves a little bit. Indiana, you know, Sudfeld's going to get picked. I think Sudfeld's going to be a steal for some team on the third day. But everybody else runs offenses where, you know, Minnesota moves. Wisconsin now, they move a little bit more. You don't see as many pro-style offenses in college, and it's become very difficult for the NFL people to evaluate college quarterbacks because right now the college quarterback game does not translate to the NFL game. And that's the big difference. That's the big difference. And that's why you see when they find some guys that can play the position, that's why you're going to see a run on them. In reality, is Jared Goff the best player in this draft? Probably not. But the Rams need a quarterback. The Rams, of course, need some cachet out in Los Angeles. And they're going to pick one. And the Eagles feel they need a long-term solution to quarterback, so they're going to pick one. And then the Browns are sitting at 8, and they're saying, okay, those two guys are gone. Do we pick one? And the Bills are sitting there saying, we probably would have picked one in round 2. Now we might pick one in the first round. And the Broncos are sitting there, and they thought for sure they had Brock Osweiler, but then he left and Manning retired, which they expected. All right, now they got Mark Sanchez, and they're looking around saying, what do we do? And if you're the Patriots, you should consider signing Brian Hoyer because you're not going to have Tom Brady the first 4 games. Now, Garoppolo would probably be the starter, but you still need a backup. The Patriots do not have 3 quarterbacks.
Oh, they could pay Brian Hoyer 1 year on the cheap, just give him league minimum.
They could, except there'll be other teams that will go for him. Denver, if Denver doesn't pick somebody, they may go for him. Fitzpatrick hasn't re-signed yet with the Jets. You know, the Jets may draft somebody and then sign him. Because Geno Smith's not the answer. Anybody with common sense knows that.
What are the Jets willing to pay compared to what Ryan Fitzpatrick wants?
I have no idea. If you're looking at the Jets, the Jets, I think, do have to take a quarterback at some point. I don't think Geno Smith's the long-term answer. I really don't. So what do the Jets need? The Jets probably need another outside linebacker. It wouldn't hurt if they picked up a tight end in this draft and probably a corner. I mean, along the way, you know, Fitzpatrick's unsigned. Of course, no Antonio Cromartie. Chris Ivory gone. Damian Harrison gone. Calvin Pace at linebacker gone. Antonio Allen at safety gone. Stephen Ridley at running back gone. Willie Colon at guard gone. Jeremy Curley at wideout gone. And DeMario Davis gone. Now, who have they added? Through free agency, they added Matt Forte at running back. They picked up Steve McClendon from the Steelers. Picked up Bruce Carter at linebacker. Kerry Robinson at running back. Jarvis Jenkins at defensive end. And Jeremy Ross at wideout. Now, the Jets last year had 12.5 sacks from players that were linebackers last season. And David Harris had 4.5 of them. He was the only player that had more than two. Now, what more can you ask from Fitzpatrick? I don't understand what the problem has been in re-signing him. I mean, the Jets, like every NFL team, has a money tree in the backyard. Fitzpatrick last year set a franchise record with 31 touchdown passes. Joe Namath never threw 31. Richard Todd never did. Ken O'Brien never did. Fitzpatrick threw 31. That's the record. In fact, he broke the record set by Vinny Testaverde back in 1998. Jason Morrow was out all last season. So the tight end problem was a big problem. That's why I mentioned tight ends got to be something that they draft. You know how many catches Jets tight ends had last year? 8. For 95 yards on a touchdown. Quincy Enunwa from Nebraska had 113 snaps as a tight end. But he's not really a true tight end. I mean, to the point where Fitzpatrick wasn't going to throw to him. There's nobody there to throw to. The Jets, by far, had the worst completion percentage when they targeted tight ends, 34.8%. You know who was second? Houston at 54.7%, 20 percentage points higher. Jacksonville was third at 55.8%. Now, we talked defense. Now, four of the Jets, of the 10 Jets with the most defensive snaps last season, left the team. That's big. So they replaced him with Damon Harrison. They replaced Damon Harrison with Steve McClendon and DeMario Davis with Bruce Carter in free agency. But they need an edge rusher and a corner.
What are your thoughts on Darren Lee of Ohio State?
Love him. I think I saw him at Beaver Stadium 2 years ago, and I said to Jack, I said, that is an NFL player. I said, I know he can't go yet, but I said, the first chance he has to go, I would advise him to go. And then I saw him last year at Ohio Stadium at the Shoe. Thought it was even better. He plays the pass really well. For a young player, he seems to have a pretty good feel, not perfect as to the depth of drop you need to have to be disruptive in the pass game. And Sean, when it comes time to blitz him off the edge, he has an explosive first step. You watch him. That second, after he gets that first step, that second step, he's in big-time gear. And you know what? For a young player, he scrapes pretty well. You know, you want to take that blitz and you want to scrape it off the edge. You want to do it in such a way you can scrape it right off the backside of that defensive end. Because now you put the tackle in a real quandary as to which one you're really picking up on the play. And you scrape off of that thing, and you also can then hide it and disguise it when you scrape it too. He does it. A lot of people love Josh Perry, the other linebacker. I thought Lee was better than Perry. And by the way, Josh Perry's very good, so I'm not. But I think Lee's better. Now, what about the Ravens? We only used to talk about them when Sarah Bartlett was around.
I was going to say, we got a text to her out in San Diego saying, okay, what's on your request list out there?
They need a wideout. They need a wideout. Wouldn't hurt to get another linebacker, too. And then defensive line, defensive back would be needs 3 and 4. It's a team that lost Darryl Smith at linebacker, Will Hill at safety, Matt Schaub, Courtney Upshaw. I think that is a gigantic loss. Chris Givens at wideout and Sharice Wright at corner. They did pick up Benjamin Watson at tight end, but Benjamin Watson is like he is on the south side of the train right now. Could still block. They picked up Eric Weddle at safety. I think Weddle still has something to give. Mike Wallace at wideout, who is outstanding at running straight. You can guess what I think of him when he's not running straight. And running back, of course, they picked up Trent Richardson, and that's just a total gamble there. So you got your top two receivers coming off big-time injuries. Steve Smith Sr., torn Achilles, not easy to come back from for Tim Frazier at the age of 21. Imagine Steve Smith Sr. trying to come back from a torn Achilles tendon at 37. And then Brashad Perriman, who, by the way, I think is a major league prospect, missed all of last season with a partially torn PCL. That's not easy. But I think Perriman is a big-time player for them. The last time that a Ravens receiver had 80-plus receptions in a year, you know who it was? Derek Mason in 2008. Remember earlier I was talking about the Redskins giving up more 20-yard pass plays than any team in the league, thus you signed Josh Norman? Baltimore connected on 2 touchdown passes that were thrown at 20 yards downfield or better. The second fewest in the league. That's why they signed Mike Wallace. Now, Wallace did not have what you call an awesome year last year. He had 39 catches for 2 touchdowns. The Ravens allowed 3.97 yards per rush last year. That's the second highest in franchise history. In fact, you look in the last few years. In 2010, they gave up 3.91 a carry. Last year, 3.97. 2012, 3.99. And the Ravens defense had only 6 interceptions last year. Now, the previous low for the history of the franchise has been 11 in 2014. They only had 6 interceptions all last season, most of them against the Steelers. No, I'm just kidding. And the Ravens allowed the most touchdown passes of throws of 15 yards or better last year, 15. That's why they brought in Eric Weddle. So this is why you look at the Ravens. That's what they have to do. Their touchdown interception differential was plus 11, which was the worst in the NFL. Not good. And teams averaged 13.9 yards per attempt against the Ravens last year. That's 30th in the league. Right, that is bordering on disaster. So not good. A lot more draft talk coming up. I mean, we got a lot of numbers to really back up where teams should go. Some analytics that we're going through for you today.
I'm loving this. I wish the draft was tonight.
We got a lot more. A lot more. Why are the Rams picking first? Why are they going with Goff? We'll explain that for you. The Los Angeles Rams and why they're going the direction they're going in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah. All right. Love it. Okay, here we go. We're going to the bottom of the hour here. We're going to talk a little bit more about the draft coming up, why the Rams, for example, are going where they're going to go with this. Obviously, Goff is going to be the first overall pick in the draft, and they need a quarterback. They knew they needed a quarterback. This is not something that's dramatic on their part, but they need one. And could be worse. They could have Chip Kelly as their coach. Last year, Rams quarterbacks ranked last in the NFL in passing yards, last in the NFL in yards per attempt, last in TD passes, and last in QBR. Other than that, I think they should go someplace else. It's one thing about the draft is fun. I think it's fun. Yeah, you find out who gets picked, where they're going to go. You speculate ahead of time what your team's going to pick, and then you get really disgusted in the guy they do pick. Then he turns out great, and years later you tell all your buddies, that's exactly who I wanted them to get.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So for the next 2 days, it's Dan Mitchell against Joe McGranahan?
Yes, sir.
Do the authorities know? All right.
Heads up has been given.
Yeah. Okay. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports bozo of the day. Don Fraser, who was just a great Olympic swimmer for Australia. She won 4 gold medals in 56, 60, and 64. Took some shots at golfer Adam Scott on her Facebook page. She said, "Very sorry to hear that Adam Scott cannot fit into his schedule to play for Australia at the Olympics. Well done, Adam. Great to put your country on hold so you can fulfill your own schedule. How much money do you want in life? Not showing much for your country. I guess working 3 jobs a week to secure my place as an Olympic swimmer has given me the strength to say what I feel about sportsmen and women that do this. Well done, Adam. May you enjoy your sport and money you earn, and hope it gives you great pleasure. I'm still trying to survive at 78 years of age, but still a very proud Australian." Okay. I understand Don Fraser's passion, and I understand what she went through to get to this point, but no offense, but first of all, the Olympics is trying to cram something down everyone's throat here. We're going to play golf, and the pros are going to play. Well, okay, but why don't you do it in such a way where you've talked to the PGA Tour and also to the European Tour so they can spread tournaments out a little bit? It is far more prestigious in life, in my opinion, to win the U.S. Open, the British Open, the PGA, and the Masters than to win Olympic gold medal in golf. Now, Kevin wouldn't agree with that, but I will ask you straight out. What is more prestigious, the gold medal Jennifer Capriani won in tennis or Serena Williams winning Wimbledon? Just because there's an Olympic gold medal attached to it doesn't make it bigger. What's bigger, an Olympic gold medal in golf or winning the Masters? You are forever going to be known as a Masters champion. Adam Scott is forever a Masters champion. Okay, name for me the last gold medal winner in London in tennis.
Andy Murray.
I'm talking about on the women's side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, Andy Murray, yeah, he beat Roger Federer.
But
where was it?
At Wimbledon.
It was center court at Wimbledon.
That's what made it really cool to watch. I mean, if it was somewhere else in the world, who would care about it? Not too many.
Who won in 2008?
Can't tell you there.
Who won in 2004? Who won the gold medal in 2000? On and on you go as to how far back you want to go with this thing. Nobody can tell you who won gold medals in these things. Nobody. Right? Okay. Masters. Let's talk about Masters champions. Okay. There's no great film out there on who won the gold medal in tennis in 1996, 20 years ago. But there's a great film on who won the Masters 30 years ago. Every sport has what they think is their holy grail. Baseball has its World Series. Hockey has the Stanley Cup. The NBA has the finals. Tennis has Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, the Australian Open, the French Open. Racing has the Indianapolis 500, the Daytona 500. Golf has the Masters, U.S. Open, British Open, PGA. The Olympics doesn't fit in there. It doesn't fit. I'm sorry, it doesn't fit. It's nice. It'd be nice to win a gold medal in the Olympics. But, sorry, I'm not going to go out and risk Zika in a country that is sitting there that has swamps all over the place, mosquitoes everywhere, and doesn't exactly have a great track record of taking care of it. No offense, Brazil doesn't give me a lot of confidence. And he is not going to be the only one that pulls out. I can tell you that right now. He will. You know, what is more prestigious to a European and an American golfer? A gold medal in the Olympic Games or winning the Ryder Cup?
And that happens this year, too.
That happens in Minnesota this year at Hazeltine. What means more to an American golfer? Representing their country at the Ryder Cup or at the Olympics? I can tell you in no uncertain terms, my guess would be if you were to poll 100 golfers, it would be 100-0 in favor of the Ryder Cup. And by the way, you are representing your country in the Ryder Cup. Now, Adam Scott can't play in the Ryder Cup. He's Australian. He gets to play in the President's Cup. So he played last year in that for the foreign team, the world team. I think the Olympic golf's fine. I mean, it's nice. I think it's a nice thing to add on and say. But who the heck can name gold medal winners in tennis? I mean, really, who? I think John McEnroe's devastated he never got to perform in the Olympic Games. And John McEnroe played Davis Cup every single year. John McEnroe, the biggest difference between John McEnroe and Jimmy Connors? Is Jimmy Connors once in a great while played Davis Cup. John McEnroe played Davis Cup every single year. He had that epic 6.5-hour match with Mats Wilander in St. Louis. That was a Davis Cup match. John McEnroe never missed Davis Cup representing his country. But if you ask him, well, you know, yeah, you won the U.S. Open, which is right in his own backyard where he grew up. You won Wimbledon. I think if you ask them if winning the Players' Championship at Sawgrass is more prestigious, they might tell you the Players' Championship. That's a maybe. You know, maybe that's a stretch. I don't know. Look, Don Fraser had to make a lot of sacrifices to win her gold medals, and she was a great swimmer for Australia. So it's kind of hard labeling her a bozo in anything. She was greatness personified and was a true amateur doing it. So I'm not really going to take shots at her. They wanted to put golf in the 96 Olympics. You know that? And you know where they wanted to play it?
At Augusta.
Yeah. And then they decided to get political about it. Look, you either want to play it or you don't. And you either want to play it or you don't. So they didn't play it. I mean, do you think Augusta National sat there and went, oh, well, too bad? They looked around and said, fine. It just means we can open the course later in the year. That's fine. It's one thing about the Augusta guys, you'll notice. They're like, yeah, fine. We think, oh, we don't care what you think. They're an interesting lot down there.
When you only need 3 sponsors to do your telecast for 4 straight days, what's that tell you?
Man,
that's clout.
Well, you know what they do? They're very clever about this. CBS has done the Masters every year since, what, 1960 maybe? Something like that. You realize that each year it's been a one-year contract? Each year it's a one-year contract. So CBS does not have this multi-year, 5-10-year deal to go to Augusta National. They have to sign that thing each and every year. And that gives the guys at Augusta National even more control over what's going on. I mean, it's a great partnership. I mean, CBS does a great job televising it, so I'm not... No criticism on my part. You know, that's on the bucket list. Go to Augusta National someday. Talk about the Rams before. Quarterback, wide receiver, DB. I mean, it's really startling, the numbers from last year. The Rams were dead last in passing yards in the NFL, 28.05. Dead last in yards per attempt. You know, I mean, remember I was telling you how the Ravens' defense gave up 13.6 yards per attempt? That's astronomical. Well, the Rams' quarterbacks passed for 6.2 yards per attempt. They only threw 11 touchdown passes last year, and their QBR was 35.6, all dead last. Rams receivers ranked last in the NFL. They only had 1,635 receiving yards. Kenny Britt led the way with 681. And on the current roster, only two players picked off a pass last year playing for the Rams, Tremaine Johnson and Eugene Sims. That's it. And you're wondering why they're going to need a little bit of help at defensive backs? Slot receivers killed the Rams last year. Slot receivers last year caught 78% of the passes that were thrown at them against the Rams secondary. That was the highest in the NFL. Slot receivers killed the Rams. Okay, what team do you want? Pick a team, any team. Come on, come on. Little team roulette here. Who do you want? I already gave you your Steelers.
Let's see. Yep, we've already hit Steelers and Ravens. Let's see. How about the Denver? Well, we've already talked Eagles and Redskins. Why not Dallas Cowboys?
Ah, the Dallas Cowboys. All right, we'll talk about the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys, run by Jerry Jones. Have you heard of him? Now, the key addition they picked up to me is Alfred Morris. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. They lost Greg Hardy, but that's no loss to me. That's addition by subtraction. Lost Matt Castle, fine. Now, they've signed Cedric Thornton, and they signed Alfred Morris. Now, Morris, Redskin fans will tell you, only scored one touchdown last year rushing and had a career-low 3.7 yards a carry. He is not expected to carry the load. You get Darren McFadden there. And McFadden rushed for over 1,000 yards last year. People don't realize McFadden rushed for 1,089 yards. But here's the key. McFadden carried the ball 239 times last year. Pretty good. But do you realize since he's been in the league, Darren McFadden has never had back-to-back 200 rushing seasons where he had 200 rushes in the season consecutive years? Never. So Greg Hardy's out. So what happens to the Cowboys' pass rush? Last year, the Cowboys generated pressure on 22.6% of the dropbacks with Hardy off the field last year. Now, that's with Hardy off the field. Only 22.6% of the time with Hardy off the field did they get pressure on the quarterback. Now, if that number held, say Hardy was not a factor in the team last year, that would have been dead last in the NFL. And remember, DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory are each going to miss the opening four games because of suspensions. They need a defensive end. So with Greg Hardy on the field last year, the Cowboys did get to pressure on the quarterback 30% of the time. And the league average is 27%. When he was off the field, as I mentioned earlier, it was 22.6%, well below the league average of 27%. The Cowboys only had 8 interceptions last year. That's it. They were tied with the Bears for the second fewest in the NFL. The Ravens, as we mentioned earlier, were last with 6. Jeff Heath is the only Cowboy that had multiple interceptions last year. He had 2. And by the way, he only played 193 snaps last year, so he didn't play a lot. So the Cowboys need, somewhere in this deal, the Cowboys are going to need a running back. They absolutely need a defensive end. They're going to need a defensive back, and somewhere in this deal, they need a quarterback. My thought process on the quarterback thing is maybe Dak Prescott, maybe Kevin Hogan. Tony Romo has missed at least one game in each of the last 3 years. And, of course, he missed a dozen last year. And in the last 14 games where Tony Romo did not start, the Cowboys are 1-13. In the last 34 games where he did start, the Cowboys are 23-11. So that's why they got a defensive end's got to be first, somewhere in the mix of running back, somewhere in the mix they got to get a DB, somewhere in the mix they got to get a quarterback. Romo's getting long in the tooth and can't stay upright. All right, who's next on the Sean Carey roulette?
Let's see. Why don't we go with... Ba-ba-ba-ba. Why not? The New England Patriots.
The New England Patriots, the team that plays in Foxborough, Massachusetts.
And does not have a pick in the first round.
Right off the intersection of Route 1 and Interstate 95. Well done. All right, so here are the New England Patriots. Obviously, no pick in the first round. It is obvious what they need. They need offensive linemen. There's no getting around it. They need offensive linemen. Brady was under pressure exponentially more than most quarterbacks in the league last year. I don't think people realize the pressure he was under. The Patriots have lost Jerod Mayo, Chandler Jones, Brandon LaFell, Scott Chandler, the tight end, Ryan Wendell, Akeem Nix, Terrell Brown, Tavon Wilson. Now, they did pick up, this is a good pickup at tight end. No more Scott Chandler, but they picked up Martellus Bennett. I think that's a good pickup for them. Chris Hogan, who's a great story. Chris Hogan played lacrosse here at Penn State. He did not play football here. Chris Hogan played lacrosse at Penn State. Then for 1 year, he played football at Monmouth, went to the Bills, signed with the Patriots for 3 years. Donald Brown, the old UConn running back, he'll fit well in what they're doing. Jonathan Cooper in the offensive line. Chris Long, Howie Long's kid at defensive end. That's a big pickup. Shay McClellan at linebacker. Nate Washington at wide out. I think he'll help some. E.J. Biggers at corner and Frank Kearse at defensive tackle. How banged up was the Patriots' offensive line last year? How about the fact the Patriots used 39 different offensive line combinations just last year? That's 11 more than any other team. And the Patriots only averaged 1.82 yards per rush last year. They used 39 combinations up front. The Titans used 28, the Texans 26, and the Chargers used 24. Tom Brady, extremely efficient with Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski when they were on the field together. When either was off the field, Brady was not as effective. Now listen to this. Brady's completion percentage when both were on the field, 68.5%. When either one of them was out, 60.3%. 8.5 yards per attempt when they're both out there. 6.8 when one's out there. 17 touchdowns, 2 picks when they're both out there. 19 touchdowns, 5 picks when one of them's out. QBR 78.1 when they're both out there. 49.8 when one of them's out. And they were beaten on the outside badly last year. The Patriots' pass defense outside the numbers last year, dead last. 2,366 yards outside the numbers. That was last. When teams threw outside the numbers against the Patriots, 8 yards per attempt, 31st. QBR when they threw the ball outside the numbers, 73.2, dead last. So now you know why they need. They need offensive linemen. Somewhere they got to pick up another corner, and they've got to pick up a wideout in this thing. That's what the Patriots need. We'll wrap up all of this in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Vote early, vote often. Sean's already voted five times today and for five different candidates.
Don't forget to check out don't forget to check out WKOK.com after the polls close tonight for the Election Central.
I mean, Sean's an equal opportunity guy. Talk about no agenda. Either that or just doesn't know what the deal is. So, but get out and vote today. It's amazing how many votes have been cast across the country. This is on the Republican side, there have been exponentially more votes cast this year than I believe any other primary year. The Democratic race is way down. I mean, it's down like 4.5 million votes or something like that from 2008, which I think was the record. I think in 2008 there was more Democratic votes in the primary than ever. This year is 4.5 million fewer. It's not even close. It's down. I think it's down in almost every state except for five or six. But hopefully you can get out and you can vote. That's what I'm going to do here when the show's over. And look, unlike a previous co-host on this show, Sean and I can't be bought. The other guy could. Oh, wait, he actually is in politics, isn't he? That's not a good combination.
He's now trying to master the art of the deal.
Did he buy a book?
There's an app for that. There's an app for that.
There's an app for everything, including this show. The Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app. You can tune in every day. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15. Hubble's Wharf, Phillies and Nationals at 6:30.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.